Hello, and you're listening to The Seventh Reel. This week, the last detail in 1972 film?
Yeah.
Three film, directed by Hal Ashby. Hal Ashby. So, Yusuf, how did you come about picking this film?
I watched Five Easy Pieces and wanted to watch more Nicholson movies.
So it was Jack Nicholson that spurred you into this decision.
And I'm reading the book about Chinatown, so I felt like Robert Towne wrote this or adapted this from a novel by Daryl.
This is a novel?
Yeah.
How?
It was a novel, and they began adapting it on the set of Drive, He Said, which I think Jack Nicholson directed. Anyways.
Well, what did you guys think then?
Yeah.
Michelle, I know you didn't really like it.
No.
Well, compared to something like Harold and Maude that we've previously covered on this podcast.
Alan.
What?
There's no Al.
There's no Al. Okay. Maude. I like that a lot better. That was
fun and interesting and actually had stuff going on.
Yeah, but not in, according to the public. Ashby was coming off the disappointing commercial and critical failure of Harold and Maude
and
pre-production when Jack Nicholson told him about The Last Detail, his upcoming film at Columbia. The director had been sent the script in the fall of 1971 with the Reader's Report calling it lengthy and unimaginative, but he personally found it very appealing. Yeah.
Alright.
Well, Jack Nicholson held the entire film.
Yeah,
to be
if
fair,
he wasn't in it, this would just, you can't watch it. It wouldn't be watched.
Because it is just these characters go to a place, something kind of happens.
But, like, you don't really learn that much about them.
I mean, you kind of do. Like, you get a
that much, though.
You get a gist that these two men, they're just being in the Navy most of their lives. They kind of probably running away from, like, not necessarily running away from something, but they discarded their past lives and just kind of, they're Navy men now, and this is the job that they do. At the same time, by escorting this young man to basically his doom, they kind of reawaken some humanity in them, and that's why, like, Nicholson's character is so desperate to try, like, okay, let's do something here. Let's stop and, like, get drunk. Let's take him to, like have some fun. Anything to escape, like, the idea, like, oh, this is what they're doing. They're taking him to jail. And something that he's not even, isn't 8 years for not even stealing $40, like, justice? Probably not.
For a teenager who can't even drink.
For a teenager, he's a literal kid, he's 18. Yeah, so it's kind of sad, which makes the ending kind of even sadder because, like, that whole bit at the end is like, hey, he's telling me how to do my job. It's like, that's when they're back in the system. It shows that this moment, that brief moment of compassion instantly dissipates the moment the kid tries to run at the end, because that's what their job is, to keep him from running, to take him there. I don't know, I just still thought that, okay, so there's a bit of a narrative, like, up and down and third act kind of resolution, but it's still kind of boring.
Like, they could play this off as, like, a real kind of party movie if it was remade.
They can make it raunchier. Like, it's like, aha, this kid's never gotten laid. So, well, they did literally did that in this already. So.
Yeah, but they, I don't know. They just make it funner.
Because
this is very, like, subdued.
With
and I fell asleep multiple times.
Surprise appearance from Nancy Allen. And apparently her first movie. That's like her.
Nancy Allen's first movie.
Yeah. And so, yeah, we previously have her covered on Dressed to Kill. She had much more to do there.
Oh, it's her.
It's her, yeah. Well.
It earned $46 million at the box office.
This?
I think so.
Oh, wow. That's insane. That's a lot. Wow, people really don't. I guess this really isn't. It's also the time it came out, right? In the 70s.
No, wait, maybe I'm missing.
With the whole Vietnam. Vietnam still wasn't over.
A dollar a ticket.
Let me see. Maybe this is.
On Wikipedia, it says it made $10. $10. It made $10 million opposed to a $2.3 million budget.
Oh, okay.
So it's still a success.
I'm not. So the public disagrees with Michelle. Thinks that The Last Detail is better than Harold and Maude. I don't know.
Do you agree?
No. Definitely not. But, I mean, this movie was just so boring.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Felt like, I don't know, especially after seeing Five Easy Pieces, which is essentially sort of similar.
He's on the run.
Yeah.
Somewhere.
No, he's going, you know, back, and it's a road trip with him and the girlfriend he doesn't like. It's much sadder, and I don't know, I thought it was better.
Maybe it's like Paris, Texas, where maybe if you watch it on your own or at the cinema, you get like a more deeper experience out of it or something.
That's true. Wow, I've been picking like bad picks.
No. I disagree. I personally got something out of it. But you did say that this works a lot better as something you just kind of put on the background while you do something else. And I think it's perfect. And there's no harm in being a background movie, you know, that plays at a barbecue. No, you wouldn't play this at a
barbecue.
That's
a weird thing to say.
I don't know, just something to put on while you
like
do
outside.
Something.
Outside.
Oh, the classic scenario. At a barbecue. And you put on The Last Detail.
Why does this dude turn it off?
Although one birthday, Pierre put in the background "Easy Rider," my birthday, and everyone was so confused as to what is this shit. Because no one was like watching it, and it's just a bunch of hippies in the 60s, like on bikes. So that does happen, I guess.
Do you think these movies now kind of have like a cultural barrier to people, like? I don't know. Like, the 70s were a very different time. They acted and talked like fairly different people. I don't know.
Somewhat.
Mm. But like Harold and Mulder, still that anger towards the man, you know? Like, it's a counterculture film.
This is the first of three successive years in which Jack Nicholson was nominated for Best Actor.
For this?
Yeah.
Oh,
this,
shit.
Then Chinatown, then One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest.
He won that one.
He eventually won the award for The Last of These.
Mm. Well, he's really good in this.
He is good in everything.
Was he good as the Joker? Was he fun? Or was he...
In a campy sort
in
of
a camp,
way.
Yeah.
That whole movie is like, it's not good, but it's an interesting...
It's a cartoon.
Movie. Yeah, it's interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Which is, I mean, not a bad...
All right, do you have anything else to add about this? It's kind of boring.
Well, is the last detail referring to, like, this kid's last chance at freedom?
No, I think the detail, like, as in, like,
the
detail
watch, is accompanying him. Yeah, you got detail with you. You got secure, like, people watching.
Okay.
Yeah, so, and I guess it is. Like, it's like, this kid's last, like, journey before he gets locked up. It is very sad how after Jack Nicholson's like, yeah, you might get 6 years because of good behavior, he just kind of holds on to that. Oh, 6 years, it's 6 years. It's very sad because most likely he was saying that to comfort him. It just won't really pan that way if, you know, they were out to get him in the first place.
The phrase said in this movie, "Let's shag ass," which we were all confused by, was later used in The Royal Tenenbaums.
Okay, Wes Anderson likes this.
Mm-hmm. The actor who played the racist bartender would wind up in other Jack Nicholson movies as a bartender. Who is the racist bartender? The
I
guy
don't
who said we can't serve him because he's 18? How's that racist?
How's that? Yeah, he's just ageist. That's
I don't know if he said something to the,
the
black guy.
He was like, I can't serve him because he's not 18. And that N-word over there.
And I can't serve you
because you're an N-word.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about, different times. All right, shall we take a break?
Mm-hmm.
Yep, let's do it. Let's take a break. Now we are breaking.
Wow, I'm sounding very down and under because this is really kind of a boring movie. How many reels are we going to give this?
Two.
I give it four.
Two and a half.
I go 3.5.
I'll go with four. I got what it was going for.
Yeah. I don't even know the guy who's going to prison's name.
Meadows. They say it like 50 times in the movie.
Right.
Yeah. Meadows. Yeah,
but... No, that's... Isn't Meadows... Oh, no, the other guy's...
Mueller and the other guy's Badass, whatever. He's some
badass.
Polish badass. Do we recommend it?
No.
No? Okay. Well, watch Harold and Maude instead.
We have recommendations later, right?
Yeah, we do have... Oh my god, it's hard to even think of a parallel to this.
What was I have one.
All right.
I mentioned it before.
So what have we watched this week? I can tell you.
Yeah.
We can tell you.
Asteroid City in a hot theater that the AC was not on in.
Do you think that dampened the experience?
I did, definitely. Really did. Yeah, I would have been able to sit and watch it. I was like, I have to go outside in the AC for a bit.
I will say that I liked the movie enough that that wasn't too distracting for me.
Yeah. I like the movie overall. Like, when I start thinking about it more, I think it was cute, but I think it was just too much. He's just, it feels like a parody of him, like you said, Michelle.
Mm.
It's kind of like just ridiculous at this point.
It's one of those when he's, it feels like a movie where he's taking a look back at his like his oh, his entire oeuvre, I suppose.
I mean I respect your theory and
mm-hmm.
I appreciate it. I really think there's something in it that's true, but I can't stand it. It's just that the cactuses are all cartoons and the alien looks like something
it's
out
a stop
of Rick
motion.
And Morty, and that's dumb.
Played by Jeff Goldblum in the theater
section.
No blinking, you miss it cameo. Well, everybody shows up. Like, everybody you expect to show up actually shows up.
Yeah. But like that sugar cookie we had, it is too much of a good thing.
Oh, that's great.
It's too sweet.
I liked it quite. I like.
Overall, well, tell the listener your theory.
Well, it's not. I guess the theory is that he made a movie about why he makes movies like this. Like, it's hard for him. He's a guy who probably is a little bit reserved and has a hard time expressing like these big emotions, and he puts up these barriers, and like his characters puts up these, like, they hold each other at emotional distance, just like he holds you, the audience, at distance with the artifice of the medium. I'm literally pantomiming this. And from that, and then you combine it with the idea that it's kind of something, it's a first encounter story. There's an alien in this and he shows up. Reminds me a lot of Close Encounters of the Third Kind. A little bit of Nope in terms of like, this is like a movie about movies and why we watch movies and why we needed to process like our feelings and try to process our fear of the unknown.
Like Nope, there was one black character.
Yeah, exactly. And like Nope.
What is there? No, who?
Jeffrey Wright.
Yeah, that's the only black
guy. He's the only, yeah. And the kid from
Grand Budapest. Yeah, he's of color, too.
Color. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, no, Hong Chao, the first Asian person to show up.
She was barely.
And I guess the father or son.
I can't even remember her.
Yeah, she's Adrian Brody's ex-wife.
Yeah.
And that's when she shows up for one scene when they bid goodbye.
You must have
been outside when that happened.
Like, drenching myself in water from that feel like.
Well, it's a movie about them in the desert, and it sure certainly feels like that
in
the theater.
Yeah, I told Hannah that yesterday, and she was like, do you think it was like a 4D experience? So funny.
We need to get Miss Taylor back on. Has she ever been on an episode yet?
Yeah, she did Sharknado.
Oh, she did Sharknado. We should get her on again. All right, well, that kind of covers what we've watched.
Mm-hmm.
What are our recommendations? We have one lined up.
Five easy pieces.
Okay.
Much better version of this movie.
Alright, my recommendation is another Jack Nicholson kind of road trip movie. It's called The Bucket List. It's one of his older one with
Morgan Freeman.
I watched it with my parents. It was kind of sweet.
Really? Is it good?
I don't think so. Like, I remember it being funny, but I doubt, like, if I go back and, like, watch it, I'll go like, oh, this is, like, top best Nicholson and best Morgan Freeman. I don't think
it is.
What's
the other one about Schmidt?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, with Alexander Payne. I like that. Like, well, we only watched the first 20 to 30 minutes of that. My parents thought it was too depressing.
Oh, that's really
because, yeah, there's a scene when, like, in the beginning, he's talking about all the things he hates about his wife, the things about her features that annoys him. My mom turns around to my dad, like, do you feel this way about me? And I'm like, okay.
Yeah,
so this doesn't stop. And then when they turn the movie off, and we watch Sideways instead. We were very insistent on doing Alexander Payne. Yeah, because my dad wanted to, like, and so I downloaded both of them.
Your dad knows who Alexander Payne is.
Yeah, I don't know why. I think he really liked The Descendants or Nebraska or something like that.
You know what's so funny? Yesterday I was on the phone with my dad and he was like, I'm watching Casablanca, and I kept talking about how great the movie is and it's amazing, Humphrey Bogart. And he's like, Humphrey Bogart? No, I'm watching this Egyptian comedy movie that's called Casablanca.
Oh my God.
It's like just, it's a reference to it. And I was like, is it any good? He's like, no, it's terrible. I was like, well, wait, why'd you let me go on this entire time? Like,
I don't know. It's been nice.
Yeah.
When I watched Casablanca, my dad didn't get it. He was like, why do you know all these lines? He didn't get it. What's my recommendation? Oh, I already said that. Bucket list. What's yours, Michelle?
Just Taxi Driver would.
Kind of. Yes, but
it's the same period. Yeah.
He was in the service, and then
And he's complete directionless.
I'm trying to remember a film of like this guy who comes back. I feel like it was like De Niro or someone like De Niro who came back from war and
Rambo.
And he like is too distant with his wife. He like that's it's over with them. And
Deer Hunter.
Is that Deer Hunter?
I think you're talking about the Deer Hunter.
It's not, what's it called? The one with the hook. Where he has a hook. Rolling Thunder, something like that.
Oh, I haven't seen that one.
Okay, then no. But that's the one, he comes from back from Vietnam and they rob him. You don't know that one?
No.
So good.
I've heard of it.
Okay, maybe we should do that on a podcast. Well, speaking of what we're going to be doing on the podcast, we're going to be watching Fight Club. Let's do Fight Club.
Okay, you're doing Fight
Club. Have we done a Fincher yet? Other than Mank. On our very first episodes.
Which was never aired.
Which has never aired.
The lost episode.
I don't think so. I don't think I ever did a Fincher.
No.
Fight Club.
Fight Club. That's return to the glory days of our youth. And we live it to all together.
Mm-hmm.
So, all right.
Social network to feel also.
Yeah.
Like you've got a full.
So watch Fight Club if you haven't seen it already. If you haven't seen it already, what's wrong with you? Well, watch Fight Club.
Yeah.
See you next week. Bye. The 7th Reel is hosted by Marvin Huang, Michelle Hassel, and Yusuf Al-Bashir. Logo by Joe Conti. Our ad break music is composed by Yusuf Sui Lim, and our outro music is composed by Yahya Al-Bashir. Thanks for listening.